When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's the DVE Morning Show. Yesterday on the program, we had Hockey Hall of Famer Mike Lang join us. And since we're celebrating some of the highlights of the Penguins-Flyers rivalry through the years, given that we're playing him three times this week, we asked him about some of his more memorable moments of this rivalry. And the one he came up with, specifically, the drought. 1974 to 1989. 42 games the Penguins lost at the Philly Spectrum. Could not win in Philly. Here was Mike talking about that yesterday.
It just struck a nerve with me how big that game was and how much DVE had to do with the Penguins winning that hockey game. Seriously. You know, at the time, Scott Paulson and Jimmy Crenn were the morning guys, and hockey really kind of took off right around that point, you know, with Mario's arrival. But there was an aura about it. I mean, we had been on that week talking about what they're going to do, and they decided to dress as witch doctors and go to Philadelphia for that game. And yep. They were an integral part. I mean, DVE was huge then. It still is. You guys keep that going. But it was an integral part, and the players, I remember, responding and seeing both these guys dressed stupidly but beautifully to inspire the Penguins to break the streak. So that's a vivid memory for me.
Joining us right now, Scott Paulson, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, what's up?
We'll kick your ass, you Flyers.
I still have a deep-set hatred of the Philadelphia Flyers that will never, ever go away. Thank you for having me on. How you guys doing? You hanging in there? Everybody got your shots?
Good.
No, nobody's got our shots yet. When we get them, we're all going to get together, though.
Yeah, well I got some in the Kogo's parking lot and from the guy who was selling water-cooled speakers.
Here's what I remember about that insane day. We were supposed to, that was an afternoon show, we were supposed to go to Punxsutawney that morning. It was Groundhog Day. And the battle plan was we were going to go to Punxsutawney. It was either that morning or the next morning was Groundhog Day. But anyway, we were going to do like a triple header. We were going to do the morning show in Punxsutawney. Then we were going to go to Philadelphia to the afternoon show and then come back to Pittsburgh the next morning. The Punxsutawney thing fell apart. So it was morning show in Pittsburgh, get on a plane, go to Philadelphia, do the afternoon show from the Spectrum and up until game time, and then get on a plane to come back to Pittsburgh so we could do the morning show the next day. And we didn't see the game. That was the thing that I remember about it, other than it being crazy, was we didn't see the game. Because we were on a plane. We did our bit.
Wow.
We did our thing, and then we saw maybe the first 15 minutes of the game. And then they took us to the airport. And by the time we got to Pittsburgh, we caught the very end of the game on a TV somewhere in the old airport in Pittsburgh. But we didn't see the game. And we had no idea, or at least I had no idea, what the impact was of us doing that crazy thing until days later, the next day and day after that, because we just did it. And then, you know, we were in a cab and going somewhere else. It went really quickly. And so, the other part of I have to tell you, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, though, specifically about the witch doctor costumes.
Right.
Now, you didn't travel in those. You had those packed, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is how much advanced thought went into it. Scott Souza was our producer at the time. We called him Boo Boo. And I think, if I remember correctly, maybe after the morning show was done, maybe 10 o'clock or so, we started thinking about it. Like, hey, we should probably dress as something. So but we've been doing that whole bit all morning long about being witch doctors. We really didn't have an outfit put together. So we sent him to, you know, Kmart or somewhere, some other store that's now out of business, and said, you know, come up with something. And he came back with, he had these plastic, like Halloween costume bones that you could stick in your nose. And it was like a bone through, it was a plastic dog bone that went through your nose. And then we did face makeup. And we had penguins jerseys and feathers in our hair and grass skirts, like Hawaiian grass skirts. What that had to do with witch doctors, we didn't know. But no, we didn't fly. We didn't fly U.S. Air in that outfit. But we packed that stuff in, and then we went to the Spectrum to do it. But I have to give you a little bit of backstory, though. I came to Pittsburgh in 1986 from Tennessee, and although I'm from the Ohio Valley, I knew nothing about hockey. And what Mike Lang just said about hockey just catching on at that time, it's true. Mario Lemieux, he's given credit in Pittsburgh, certainly, but he should be given credit in throughout the North America for bringing hockey to Pittsburgh. It didn't really exist. I know there are Hornets fans, and I know there are certainly Penguin fans from that era. But trust me when I tell you, in 86 and 85, winter of 85, this radio station in Pittsburgh, not DVE, wanted to bring me in from Knoxville and hire me. So they flew me up here for a job interview, and they said, well, you know, we're going to wine and dine you. Okay. So I came up in the winter of 85, and they put me at Connolly's Motor Inn, you know, high rolling out by Channel 4 in Wilkinsburg. And the wining and dining was they took me to a Penguins game, and the Pens were playing, of all people, the Flyers, of all teams. Oh, now, once again, I don't know anything about hockey. There's hardly anybody in the arena. We're sitting way up high. And from the time I sat down, I literally became a hockey fan as soon as I saw it. It was one of those things that just grabbed you, or grabbed me anyway. And I remember calling home that night to Knoxville and talking to my girlfriend, now wife. And she's like, well, how'd it go? And I was like, great. We went to a hockey game. We got to go to a hockey game. If we move here, we have to go to hockey. All I talked about was hockey for an hour. And she's like, well, are you going to take the job? What do you do? I was like, I don't know. I got to think about it. But if we do take the job, we got to go to hockey. This is the greatest sport. So I was hooked. But I'd never followed hockey, so I didn't know anything about the history of either the Penguins or the Flyers or the NHL or nothing. I was sort of coming in like a brand-new fan. And I loved it. So fast forward, you know, 2 years. At this point in time, I'm going to 20, 30 games a year and considering buying season tickets. But I still don't know really the history. But thankfully, we had guys like Mike Lang come on the show. So that's when I learned about the 15 years and the big drought. But I still didn't understand. Like, I knew, because I had been a Steelers fan my whole life, I knew about the Pittsburgh-Cleveland thing. But I didn't realize there was also a Pittsburgh-Philly thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know until that night what kind of vitriol went on in Philadelphia. So
you went to the Spectrum not knowing what you were going to face from Philly Flyer fans.
No idea. So,
had you known, would you have rethought this idea?
Not at that age, no. I was fearless. But
right.
I may have thought about it differently. But keep in mind, we also went up to Shea Stadium and did a We Hate the Mets broadcast. I mean, we were nuts. But anyway.
Yeah, you guys were Muck the Fets.
Muck the Fets. But people will often ask now, you know, weren't you concerned? Were you concerned for your safety? I was like, no, sure. I was blissfully ignorant. I had no idea. But anyway, we get there in the afternoon and we get to the Spectrum. And the first thing I see is Tim Kerr, legendary hockey player, a beast of a hockey player. Your classic Philadelphia Flyer player, you know, like 6'3", 240. In a pair of gym shorts, and he's just running around the inside of the Spectrum. And I remember looking at him going, hey, there must be boxing tonight. You know, he just looks like a pro wrestler. And he's running around and around the circles. And finally he stops and very nice guy, you know, was chatting, having a little conversation, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. I tell him we're from Pittsburgh, and we're doing this broadcast. He kind of looks at me like I'm insane. He said, wait a minute, you're doing a broadcast you know, an anti-Flyers broadcast. Yeah. He's like, okay, whatever.
<You know>? So good luck.
we do our three hours in the afternoon from the press box. There's nobody there, you know, in the spectrum. And we watch pregame afternoon skate, see some of the Penguins, chat. And then when the fans start coming in, then it dawns on me. It's like, well, this might not go well. So we do. I think we were on till 6:30, something like that. And then we went down on the ice. And as fans are coming in, and they can't hear us. It's not like we're on the PA or anything. It's not like we're being broadcast. Okay. But we're on the ice and we're chanting. And the players are there too, and they're looking at us like, why are these people on the ice? What is going? They have no idea. Nobody in the arena really has any idea what's going on. But then they see the Penguin jerseys, do the Flyers fans, and then things start kind of going haywire. People start throwing stuff and et cetera, et cetera. But we do our prayer to the god Zamboni, and we do our chant, and we get off the ice and we survive. And then they whisk us away, They put us in a cab, take us out.
Get out of here.
we see 15 minutes of the game, and we have no idea what happens. None, zero, until we get home to Pittsburgh. And then we get home to Pittsburgh, and we find out, yeah, we won. And it all changed at that point in time. But it was an amazing night, a crazy, absolute crazy 24 hours. And when I look back on it now, like a lot of things that happened when I was that age, I look back on it now and I think, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, Scott, we have that broadcast. This is a clip of you guys doing the chant on the ice. Joe, if you could, please play this. Now, this is from when it was still the Scott Paulson show in 1989. Now, give this a listen, folks.
Now, let's open this broadcast up with prayer. As we stated before, we would be praying to Zamboni, the god of the ice. So let's do that now. We pray to Zamboni, god of the rink, to flush the Philly Flyers down the Pens' kitchen sink. We call to Zamboni in praise to his name, deliver the Pens from their 15-year shame. With Mario's stick and Robbie Brown's pads, the jinx that the scum hold will be last year's bad. So we ask of Zamboni, hey, grant our request. Let the black and gold prove that they are the best. And when it's done, we won't brag. We'll just hold our heads up and send Philly a postcard from the Stanley Cup. Live from the Spectrum in Philadelphia, it's a Scott Paulson radio broadcast. All aboard 102.5 WDVE.
Excuse me, ladies. Have you ever seen a man with a bone through his nose naked before?
That last part was from home. I don't think that was from the Philly broadcast.
I thought you were saying that to two Philly chicks walking by. Excuse me, ladies.
Oh, I was. I'm just joking. Yeah, that was.
Oh, that was so great.
It was so much fun. And it was, you could come up with anything at that point in time.
Yeah.
We could come up with anything. And the people that we worked with would go, okay.
I know.
Didn't really think it through. I don't think there was no. There was.
Val
no,
and I were talking about that yesterday, Scott. We would never be allowed to do any of that stuff today.
No,
The idea wouldn't be fully expressed in a meeting before it would be. Sorry, legal. No, yeah. Can't do it.
Yeah, times have changed. But boy, it was fun then. And imagine, you know, had it gone the way we had planned it and done both broadcasting in one day, we would have gone from Punxsutawney and then to Philadelphia. But I'm kind of glad that didn't happen. But boy, the Philly thing was so much fun.
15 years, 42 games in Philadelphia. The Penguins could not get a win. And then the night you guys do that, they finally break the curse. Mike Lang, the Hockey Hall of Famer, gives you guys the credit. Now you're ensconced in the team, accepted as, part of the reason for the turnaround. This was a hallmark moment in WDVE's broadcasting legacy.
Yeah, it was all happenstance too. I mean, it could have gone either way, but Yeah. The thing about that long streak is that night, that first night that I came to Pittsburgh and went to that hockey game, the final score was 7-3, Philadelphia, and Mario had a hat trick, which tells you everything you need to know about the Penguins of the mid-'80s. It was him and nothing else. But little by little, they added piece by piece, and I think that season when the streak was broken, I think Barrasso was in his first year or maybe second year. Paul Coffey had just joined the team. Robbie Brown had a killer year playing wing on Mario for Mario. Mario, I think, had a 199-point year. You could see that it was going to turn around. We just happened to be at the right place at the right time with the right mindset, which was, let's go do something crazy. And we did.